Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Tefillah Perek Dalet. This perek lists five conditions which are ma'akvim et ha-tefillah. They must be met in order for one to be able to say the Amidah. If any of these is not met, then the person should not say the Amidah in the first place, and if he does, he may have to repeat it. The Rambam begins the perek with a list of these five critical prerequisites before going into detail about each one. And we'll explain what each one means as we get to it later. Halacha Aleph. Chamisha dvarim ma'akvin et ha-tefillah. Af al pi shehigi hazmanah. Taharat hayadayim v'chisui ha'erva v'taharat makom ha-tefillah u'dvarim ha-chofzim oto v'chavanat ha-lev. Taharat yadayim ketzad rochetz yadav b'mayim ad ha-perek. ואחר כך יפלל, היה מהלך בדרך, והגיע זמן תפילה, ולא היה לו מים, אם היה בינו ובין המים ארבעת מילין, שאין 8,000 אמה, הולך עד מקום המים ורוחץ, ואחר כך מפלל, היה בינו ובין המים יתר מכאן, מקנח ידיו בצרור או באפר או בקורה ומפלל. The first item on the list is Taharat Yadayim, purifying the hands by washing them up to the wrist, as the Rambam wrote also regarding Kriyat Shema at the beginning of Hilchot Kriyat Shema Perek Gimel. As we mentioned there, the Rambam clarifies in Hilchot Brachot Perek Vav that this hand washing should be accompanied by a bracha of Al Netilat Yadayim, but this isn't accepted by the Shulchan Aruch. If someone is traveling and doesn't have water to wash his hands, he must continue as far as 4 mil to find water. That's about 4 kilometers or 2.5 miles. In Halacha Gimel, the Rambam clarifies that he only has to go this far in the direction he is already traveling. If he looks for water in a different direction, he must only go as far as 1 mil, 1 kilometer, about 2/3 of a mile. Either way, if he can't find water within this distance, he must at least wipe his hands on a rock or a wooden beam before starting his tefillah, as we saw regarding Kriyat Shema. The Shulchan Aruch rules that wiping his hands is also sufficient if he is concerned that he will miss Zman Tefillah by looking for water. And the Mishneh Berurah adds that the same is true even if he is only concerned that he will miss Tefillah B'Tzibur. The Rambam adds an interesting point at the end of Halacha Gimel. B'me Dvarim Amurim, She'eino Mitaher L'Tefillah Ela Yadav Bilvad, B'Sha'ar Tefillot Chutz Mitfilat Shacharit, Aval B'Shacharit Rochetz Panav Yadav Raglav V'Achar Kach Yitpalel. For Shacharit, one must wash not only his hands, but also his face and feet. It isn't clear where the Rambam gets this from, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it lahalacha. But this may be based on the obligation of Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash to wash their hands and feet from the Kiyor at the beginning of the day, which would be another strong indication of the status of Tefillah as a form of Avodah, similar to the sacrificial service in the Beit HaMikdash. In Halachot Dalet and Hay, which we'll summarize rather than reading inside, the Rambam reviews and applies to Tefillah what we saw at the very end of Hilchot Kriyat Shema about Takanat Ezra. In general, anyone who is Tamei can say Tefillah after washing his hands. The Tumah which is specific to hands is Midrabanan, entirely independent of whatever other Tumah status a person has, and only purity from this Tumah of the hands is required for Tefillah. But Ezra established that any Baal Keri must immerse in a mikvah before saying any words of Torah, in order to encourage moderation in sexual activity, even between husband and wife. And a later Beit Din extended this requirement to tefillah. Ezra's takana was not widely accepted, because it was considered excessively burdensome, and it eventually died out. But in the beginning of Halacha Vav, the Rambam gives another reason why many places had the custom that a Baal Keri wash his entire body specifically before tefillah. Halacha Vav, Minhag Pashut Bisfarad Uvishinar, She'ein Baal Keri Mipalel Adju Rochetz Kol Besoro Bamayim, Mishum Hikon Likrat Elokecha Yisrael. This custom, which was prevalent in Spain and certain parts of the Middle East, was based on the Pasuk in Amos of Hikon Likrat Elokecha Yisrael, prepare yourself to greet Hashem. This is the only context in which the Rambam quotes this Pasuk, but it comes up extensively in the halachic literature as the source for wearing nice clothing during tefillah, and especially a belt. This is one of the sources of the Hasidic custom of wearing a gartel during davening. The Rambam will discuss clothing during tefillah in the next halacha and again in the next perek. We move now to the second item, kisui ha'erva, in the list of five prerequisites for tefillah from the beginning of the perek. Halacha zayin. kisui ha'erva ketzad, afal pisha kisa ervato kederach shemechased likriyat shema, lo yipalel ad shechased libo. Vimlo kisa libo o shenenas ve'en lo bame yechase, ho'il v'chisa ervato vipalel yatsa ulechatchila lo yaseh. In Hilchot Kriyat Shema, we saw two parts of the requirement of kisui erva on one's body, covering the erva itself, and wearing something on the waist or chest to prevent libo roe et ha'erva. There was also a third din relating to people lying together in bed, but this is not relevant for tefillah, which one doesn't generally do while lying in bed. For tefillah, the Rambam adds that l'chatchila one must cover his chest as well, as is appropriate on the occasion of speaking directly to Hashem. B'dieved, however, his tefillah is valid even if he was bare-chested, as long as the first two requirements of kisui erva from Hilchot Kriyat Shema are satisfied. Moving to the third item in the list, halacha chet, tarat mekom ha-tefillah ketzad, lo yipalel bimkom ha-tinofet, v'lo ba-merchatz, v'lo b'veit ha-kisei, v'lo ba-ashpa, o b'makom she'eno b'chizkat tahara, ad she'ivdekenu. V'lo shel davar, ko makom she'en korin bo kriyat shema, en palin bo. וכשם שמרחיקין מצואה ומי רגליים וריח רע ומן המת ומי ראיית הערבה לקריאת שמע, כך מרחיקין לתפילה. This requirement of taharat makom is also familiar to us from Hilchot Kriyat Shema. One may not engage in tefillah in a beit ha-merchatz, a bathhouse, a beit ha-kisei, an outhouse, or a makom ha-tinofet, in the presence of tzoa or mei raglaim, nor in the presence of a dead body or a bad smell, or while seeing an erva. Recall that regarding erva, the problem is only seeing it, and therefore the Rambam specifies, mei ri'iyat ha'erva. In Halacha Tet, the Rambam adds that if an animal expels tzoa near a person while he is in the middle of tefillah, then he may move to a new location so that the tzoa is at least 4 amot behind him, and the smell is not detectable, and continue his tefillah there. If this is impossible, he must stop his tefillah. The Rambam quotes approvingly the custom of Gedolei HaChachamim, who wouldn't say the Amidah in any place with a bad odor, even if it didn't come from Tzoa or Mei Raglaim. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam moves to the fourth item on the list, Dvarim HaChof Zimoto, things which make one rushed or hurried, by which he specifically means feeling a need to use the bathroom. Halacha Yud, Dvarim HaChof Zimoto Ketzad, Shim Haya Tzarich Lin Kavav, Lo Yipalel. וכל הצריך לנקבה ויפלל, תפילתו תועבה, וחוזר ומפלל אחר שיעשה צרכיו. ואם יכול להעמיד עצמו כדי פרסה, תפילתו תפילה. ואף על פי כן, לכתחילה לא יפלל עד שיבדוק עצמו יפה יפה, ויפקוד נקביו, ויסיר כחו ונאו וכל דבר התורדו, ואחר כך יתפלל. One may not begin the Amidah when he needs to use the bathroom. And the tefillah which is said by a person in such a state is considered a toeva, an abomination. Nonetheless, the tefillah is acceptable b'di'eved if he can hold off on using the bathroom from the moment he began the amidah for the time it takes to walk a parsa, that is 4 mil, which poskim evaluate to be somewhere between 72 and 90 minutes. Aside from checking that he does not need to relieve himself, a person should spit out any mucus in his throat and blow his nose as necessary before beginning tefillah. We'll summarize the important points from Halachot Yud Aleph through Yud Dalet. One should do what he can to avoid burping, yawning, or sneezing during tefillah. But if these happen nonetheless, they do not disqualify the tefillah. If some mucus comes into his mouth, he can spit it into a tissue or the like, or onto the ground behind him. Someone who passes gas inadvertently during tefillah must pause and wait until the smell dissipates before resuming. If someone feels a need to pass gas during tefillah, he should do his utmost to wait until the end of his tefillah. But if this is impossible, then he should take several steps back, wait for the smell to dissipate, recite a short prayer, Ribon HaOlamim, expressing human frailty in dealing with bodily functions, see the exact wording in Halacha Yud Bet, and only then return to his original place and continue his tefillah. The Rama rules that this need only be done when davening bichidut, as it is embarrassing to do so during tefillah b'tzibur. One who begins his tefillah just after urinating should wait at least 10 to 15 seconds before starting his amidah, and similarly, one should wait this long to urinate right after finishing his tefillah. This brings us to the last item on the list from the beginning of this perek, and that is kavana. Halacha tetvav. Kavanat ha-lev ketzad, kol tefillah she'ina b'chavana, eina tefillah. V'im mitpalel b'lo kavana, chozer u'mitpalel b'kavana. matzah dato mishubeshet v'libo tarud, asur lo lipalel ad shetityashev dato. Lefichach, haba min haderech v'huayef o meitzer, asur lo lipalel ad shetityashev dato. Amru chachamim, shlosha yamim ad shianuach v'titkarer dato, v'achar kach yitpalel. A tefillah without kavanah is not a tefillah at all, and must be repeated. If one knows that he is distracted or preoccupied by something, he should not engage in tefillah until he is able to focus. The Rambam quotes the statement of the Gemara in Erevin, that after a long journey, it can take 3 days of rest until the traveler is settled enough to say tefillah. As we mentioned before in the context of Kriyat Shema, poskim from the Shulchan Aruch on say that nowadays we are not so focused in general that one should ever skip a tefillah due to lack of kavana. Halacha tetzayin, keitzad hi hakavana? Shiyefane libo mikol ha-machshavot, v'yire atzmo ki'ilu hu omed lifnei ha-shchina. Lefichach tzarich leshev ma'at kodem ha-tfilah, k'dei lechaven ad libo. V'achar kach yipalel b'nachat v'tachanunim. V'lo yaseh tfilato k'mi sh'aya nosei masoi, mashlicho v'holechlo. Lefichach tzarich leshev ma'at achar ha-tfilah, v'achar kach yipater. Chasidim הראשונים היו שוהים שעה קודם התפילה ושעה אחר התפילה ומעריכים בתפילה שעה. What exactly is kavanah? That a person removes all other thoughts from his mind and sees himself as if standing directly before God. Therefore, one must pause to focus himself before starting tefillah. He must say the tefillah in a relaxed manner and not make it seem like a burden that he wishes to free himself of. And after his tefillah ends, he should pause as well to indicate that his tefillah wasn't any type of burden before leaving or returning to his affairs. The Chasidim Rishonim, the early pious ones, would spend 3 hours on each tefillah, an hour of preparation, an hour for the tefillah itself, and waiting an hour after completing the tefillah. In Halacha Yudzayin, the Rambam distinguishes between two levels of drunkenness. The shikor is incapable of speaking coherently even when standing before a king, and he is considered to lack proper kavanah for tefillah. His tefillah is an abomination, as we saw earlier regarding someone who davens when he needs to relieve himself, and it must be repeated. The shatui, on the other hand, has drunk wine, but is capable of speaking in the presence of a king. He also, l'chatchila, may not engage in tefillah, but if he does say the amidah, then he need not repeat it. Halacha yudchet. V'chein ein omdim lipalel lo mitoch schok, v'lo mitoch chalut rosh, v'lo mitoch sicha, v'lo mitoch miriva, v'lo mitoch kas, ela mitoch divrei Torah. V'lo mitoch din halacha, afa bishen divrei Torah, kedei shlo yehi libo tarud bahalacha, ela mitoch divrei Torah shishein bahen iyun, kegon halachot psukot. One may not begin tefillah when in a state of levity, or if he is annoyed, nor just after a conversation or argument, as all these situations serve as distractions which can ruin his kavanah. He should rather begin tefillah just after learning Torah, not an extended and deep halachic discussion, which can also be distracting, but after learning halachot psukot, clear and succinct halachic conclusions which direct his thoughts to Hashem in a manner conducive to tefillah. In Halacha Yotet, the Rambam quotes a short tefillah, which one should say if the time for one of the daily tefillot begins while he is traveling in a dangerous area, and he can't stop and focus for enough time to say the full Amidah. Sorchei amcha Yisrael merubin, v'datan k'tzara. Yihi ratzon b'fanecha Hashem Elokeinu, shetitein l'chol echad v'echad k'dei panarsato, u'l'chol gviya u'gviya dei machsora, v'atov b'einecha asei. Baruch atah Hashem, shomea tefillah. The needs of your people are many, and their ability to focus is weak. May it be your will, Hashem, to provide everyone with what he needs to survive, and give to each individual that which he is lacking, and to do what is good in your eyes. Unlike the bracha of Vahavinenu that we saw back in Perek Bet, this is not meant to replace the Amidah. The person can say it while walking if he is unable to stand for its duration, and he says it without the first three and the last three brachot which are added to Vahavinenu. When he arrives at a safe location and his mind is settled, he must say the regular Amidah if there is still time, and if not, he can say Tefillah Tashlumin at the next opportunity. In summary, the five prerequisites of tefillah we discussed in this perek were Tarat Yadayim, Kisu Yerva, Tarat HaMakom, Dvarim HaChovzimoto, and finally, Kavanat HaLev. We close this perek by discussing briefly an idea of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, from his Sefer Chidushei Rav Chaim Halevi al Rambam, on this concept of kavanah during tefillah. The Rambam here speaks of kavanah as a critical ingredient in tefillah, and seems to require it throughout the tefillah, from beginning to end. As this is one of the five Dvarim HaMagvim Et HaTefillah, which are the topic of this perek, it follows that if someone lacks kavana for any part of the Amidah, then he must repeat the Amidah. However, in the very beginning of Perek Yud, the Rambam writes that one must only repeat his tefillah if he lacked kavana in the first bracha of Avot, ending Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. After that point, even if the entire remainder of the Amidah is said without kavana, it need not be repeated. How can this contradiction be resolved? Rav Chaim's answer is that the Rambam is speaking of two different types of kavana. In our perek, as the Rambam explained at length, we are speaking of the feeling a person must have while saying the Amidah that he is standing in the presence of God. If he lacks this awareness at any point during the Amidah, it is disqualified and must be repeated. This type of kavana is part of the very definition of tefillah, and when it is lacking, the words being spoken simply don't have the status of tefillah. In Perek Yud, the Rambam is speaking about a different type of kavana, namely thinking about the meaning of the words. This is only required b'di'eved during the first bracha. The Chazon Ish disagrees with Rav Chaim and understands that there is no distinction between the kavana in our perek and the kavana at the beginning of Perek Yud. There too, the Rambam is speaking of the experience of feeling as if one is standing in the divine presence. In our perek, the Rambam explains the meaning and l'chatchila, the scope of kavana for the entire tefillah. But he said for Perek Yud, the details of when within the Amidah it is an absolute necessity to have kavana. Once a person begins the Amidah with a feeling of standing in the divine presence, there is some residual vestige of this feeling throughout the entire Amidah, even if his focus decreases in intensity and his mind begins to wander. The Chazon Ish quotes statements from the Gemara and Rishonim, which make it clear that Chazal understood how difficult it is for a person to have kavana for an extended period of time. The understanding of Rav Chaim implies that if at any point during the Amidah one lacks the feeling of standing in the presence of God, then his Amidah is disqualified. The Chazon Ish would say that this understanding imposes on the individual saying the Amidah a very heavy burden, which is at odds with Chazal's stated awareness of human limitations.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishneh Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.